Hey everybody, welcome to Culinary Convo Movie Munchies. This week, going over yesterday, today, and tomorrow with Marcello Mastroianni and Sophia Loren. Yes, kind of an older film, but a really good one that is on the Criterion Channel currently and is part of the Criterion Collection. So if you're really wanting to get into it, we can. And then also going over the foods we ate during the film, which usually is not very interesting, but what we would cook on a second viewing of said film, or what maybe you should have during the film. And we will get into that right after a message from our sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Culinary Convo's segment, Movie Munchies. I am here with my lovely wife, Kaylee.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm back.
She's back again.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah. We haven't done it in quite some time. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it had to be done with a very good film on the Criterion Collection. It's also on the Criterion Channel right now. It is called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, which in Italian is... Ieri, oggi,
no. Ieri.
Oh, ieri, oggi, domani. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the reason why I say it in Italian is it's got Marcello Mastroianni and Sophia Loren. It is technically a movie with three different stories.
Yeah, like a anthology.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes over, you know, some of the people's lives in good old Italia. And on IMDb, it has a 7.2 out of 10 on the rating, which, you know, I think that's a little low.
Yeah, I'd say like 7.5.
Yeah, I would give it a 7.5 or an 8.
Yeah.
You know, I'll admit one of the stories was a little odd. But, you know...
They all kind of were in their own ways.
Right, right. The main thing is it's like a good, funny Italian movie that has like what seems to be mundane, but they make it entertaining.
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of those things where Sophia Loren is like, I don't want to say at her peak, but she's at a high level mm-hmm. in this movie. She is very, very good in it. Same with Marcello Mastroianni. And yeah, I really liked it. And I know it's an older film, and so some folks might be like, I don't have Criterion Collection movies. I ain't spending that much money. I don't have Criterion Channel. Well, try to find it wherever you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's dang good. It's got a funny set of characters. Good stories that are funny, kind of heartbreaking at times, but still, like, it keeps you interested, you know?
Are you gonna talk about each one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit. I don't want to give it away, though.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's one of those things that, like, you know, the cast, they've got... a lot of people in the cast. I thought Tina Pica was Marcello Mastroianni's mother. I mean, that eye and nose, mm-hmm. it looks really... I am shocked that they are not related. How are you not related?
Maybe very, very, very distant
maybe.
Relatives.
Maybe. And of course, with us today, we have... a little chunky cat named Benny, who's sleeping next to my keyboard. And then we have the rabble-rouser of disaster, Biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both wanted to be here today.
Right. They were like, we watched the movie.
Yeah, they watched it with us. And they're like, yeah. We have a lot to say about this.
Yeah. They have a lot to say about a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. But no, to kind of get this going here, the storyline, this is per IMDb, three different stories of Italian social mores are presented. In Adelina, unemployed Carmine Sperati and his wife, Adelina Sperati, survive through Adelina selling black market cigarettes on the street, which is really funny because she, what does she say? She says, Americano, or it's like American, Russian, and...
No, it's like American, British, Swiss.
Right, yeah, American, British, Swiss.
Yeah.
And that was what they said to, like, every customer.
Yeah.
Is American, British, or Swiss cigarettes. But they are unable to pay for some furniture they bought, which is under Adelina's name, but are able to avoid the bailiff when he comes for the money or to repossess the furniture. They come up with a longer-term solution to avoid Adelina being prosecuted for non-payment, but that solution has a profound effect on the family, especially Carmine. And
yeah, it was, without spoilers, it was a very creative solution.
Yeah, yeah. It is very funny.
Without too many spoilers, it involves children.
Yes, yeah. So. And, yeah, I, out of the three stories, I definitely thought that one had the most, like, to me, it was the most tied together, not only story-wise, but, like, characters.
Yeah.
The characters felt more tied together.
Yes. It was, like, a complete story.
Totally.
Compared to the other two, which were a little more vague.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second story was in Anna Molteni, the spoiled wife of a successful businessman and an artist named Renzo, are on the cusp of an affair. Anna is feeling neglected in the marriage, as her husband seems more concerned about success and money than her. But a car accident shows both Anna and Renzo if an affair with each other is really what they want. Yeah.
So this one was the most... I think unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, they're in this, what is it, a Rolls Royce?
Yeah, it's a convertible, you know, like fancy car.
Yeah, I think it was a Rolls Royce. And this was early 60s, so probably like a big deal to have that. But so they're in this car most of the story.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like tearing up thinking about it right now. Basically, they keep rear-ending people.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation.
No, there's no explanation for it. Like, you would think even the person who got rear-ended would get out of their car.
They basically were just like, you know, what the hell? Like, what's going on? But that was it.
That was it. They just drove off.
Oh, man. And
yeah.
The first time it happened, I was kind of like, what? Like, you're just going to rear end him and go? Like, maybe that'll catch up with them later. Like, you know, the police will be after them or something. And then it happened a second time and they drive away. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, do they realize that this is funny? And then it happened a third time and I... I lost it. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And
it's when Anna is driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably playing into a stereotype.
Right.
But I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. I laughed.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed so hard I was crying.
I liked that the guy, Renzo. I like that Renzo, after like the second time, he looks visibly scared. Like, he's just like, oh, man, I don't know.
And they didn't even, like, talk about it.
No.
After it happened, they moved on talking about their relationship.
Right, right.
And it's like, you guys are really just going to gloss over this? You're hitting people's cars.
Yeah.
And you're driving, like, 120.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, oh, man.
So, yeah, this was the funniest one to me. But it It wasn't.
Right.
It
was like, it's like you're saying, it was unintentionally funny because you can tell what they're talking about. It's kind of like this like sad story for both of them, but then they realize that it's worse if they do an affair and they're like secretive about it. But the guy is more worried than Anna is. Renzo's more worried. And then it's like, all this stuff happens and you're just like, what the heck is going on?
They're both self-serving.
Oh, totally.
Vibe I get.
Totally.
And so, definitely if you're going to rear end three people and not do anything about it, you're pretty self-absorbed.
Yeah.
They're both complicit in it. So.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I would say of the three, this was probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
And not that it was, like, bad.
No.
It was just, you know, it was kind of like...
It
just
seemed shorter, too.
It was just this moment.
Right.
It didn't really give you too much background or context, and then it also doesn't give you, like, an ending.
Yeah.
It just kind of leaves it up in the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
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 And then the third story here, and Mara is a prostitute who works out of her apartment. She befriends Umberto, a young man visiting his grandparents who live in the adjacent apartment. The balconies of the two apartments, which are adjoined, Umberto, a seminary student, seems to be attracted to Mara as a woman without really knowing what she does.
Yep.
Umberto's grandmother, who knows what Mara does, believes Umberto's seeming romantic infatuation with Mara will be his downfall. As Mara and Umberto's grandmother ultimately join forces to get Umberto to do the right thing in life, Augusto Rosconi, one of Mara's regular clients who is in town from Bologna, does whatever he can to get Umberto's family issues out of the way so that he can get on with his own wants with Mara. And I will say, the Mara one, Sophia Loren, she was a huge star, but how she was not an even massive star before then, it baffles me.
Yeah. Is it because she did a strip tease?
I mean, that's part of it.
Did that?
She's a great actor.
Did you like that?
You know, a great actress, I should say. It was enjoyable. It was one of those things, you know, and it was funny too. That's what kind of made it good, was that it was funny, very well acted.
Yeah, I think that was, like, the most memorable scene that came from this that people, you know, associated with this movie was that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there was a lot of other stuff, too, that I thought was,
I liked
was more
the cat.
Vital to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a cute little cat.
Yeah, I liked the cat.
It was like they didn't know who it belonged to, but it would go into her apartment and they would just... kind of hang out with this cat. I kind of wish my life was like that. That'd be pretty cool. And, you know, it, despite what she does for work, I like in this story that it kind of goes a little more into who she is.
Right.
As a person and what she believes in.
Right.
You know, she seems, there's a moment where she, basically, if this one thing happens with Umberto, then she made a vow to not be in her profession,
basically take a week off
for a week. I'm trying to be, you know, professional.
She's got to take a week off.
You
gotta stop.
And you know, she sticks to her, you know, what she says she'll do. And
it does show
very
that
steadfast.
She is a person that has values.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she does something that many would find
like objectionable or
sinful
to
be
or...
not good values.
Right.
She
right.
is like, hold on here. Like, you know, I still have like a conscience. and
mm-hmm. I'm still a person.
Right. And the conversation she has with Umberto a couple different times, they're basically to the character. They're very insightful.
Yeah, it's never like propositions.
No.
Or, you know.
It's questions.
Anything. Yeah, it's like talking about life and, you know, questioning things and what ifs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked this story. It was probably my second favorite.
Yeah.
I liked the Adelina. I liked that story the most, but this one was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And, basically, the parents' guide to this film. let's read this here.
What?
There is sex and nudity. Uh-oh. United States, it was not rated at the time.
Yeah, because I think back in mid-century, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't, like, rated X. I don't even think there was a rated R yet.
I'm trying to think. I would think that today, this movie would be...
PG-13.
Yeah, probably PG-13.
Because there's no actual, like, nudity. Or...
Yeah. It even says here, it even says here, sex and nudity mild.
Yeah, like, it's more like the, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, they refer to it, but...
Oh, insinuation.
Yeah, but it never is, like, on screen or anything.
Yeah. And alcohol, drugs, and smoking, it says
there's
mild.
A lot of smoking.
Yeah,
I mean, there's cigarettes in the first... story.
But violence and gore, there's none.
No.
Frightening and intense scenes, none.
So this was a great movie for me because there's no frightening scenes.
Yeah. In Finland, it said K through 12 could watch that movie. Yeah. Oh, that's great. it says goofs. As Anna and Renzo talk while driving, the windshield of her Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud 2 shakes because the little side windows are gone, but the little side windows are intact in the wide shots.
Goof.
Goof.
What a goof.
What a goof.
I like that that's a section.
Yeah.
Goof. Yeah.
A quote from the movie, which this was a funny quote. Carmine Sparati. The people of Forcella are out of this world. They've risen up in a gesture of solidarity. Verace's sister. I must say, it almost makes you forget how filthy and ignorant they are. it was good.
Yeah, but what I liked about it, too, is it showed all these different classes of Italians.
Right.
And kind of how life is for them and goes more into that.
Yeah.
So.
A moment in time in Italy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting on to the munchie.
Yeah. The important part, the food.
Yeah. What I actually had during the film was some pita chips, I had seaweed chips, seaweed sheets. I had pita chips, and then I also had, did I have tortilla chips?
I think so.
Or did I have something else? Yeah, might have been tortilla chips. But anyways, I basically was munching on little things the entire time. After seeing this film, and especially the first story, where, you know, they're trying to get out of her being prosecuted for black market cigarettes and the whole town comes together to try to help and do. I would cook a Sunday gravy.
Oh.
Yeah. Get some short ribs, oxtail, tomato red sauce, have it cooking, boiling down all day with any type, whether it's rotini or what have you, spaghetti, I don't care, some type of pasta, and then making Italian bread, so not a baguette, but not French bread where it's like huge and fluffy, but in the middle.
Like focaccia.
Yeah, like a focaccia. And oil, garlic.
Or ciabatta.
Your ciabatta.
Ciabatta would be good.
Yeah, ciabatta would be good. And then just sopping up.
I've never had oxtail.
Sunday gravy. It's very, very good. It's very, very good. To drink,
I could see you having a Negroni.
Possibly. I love the silent pause. but also, I would have one of my favorites, which is a Merlot.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have a dark Merlot or a Cabernet Sauvignon.
There you go. Get all that acid.
Yeah.
Red wine, red sauce.
Oof.
Get it all together.
Yes. And then as the movie began, I think every time Sophia Loren prances across the screen, I would have to take a sip of wine. That would be my game. Because she pranced quite a few times, I noticed. Yeah.
Yep. She was on screen a lot because she was one of the main characters. So
right. Well, I'm just saying, prancing is a particular movement. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have your toes down, heel up, and you're kind of like moving forward. Your arms are up in the air. There's a lot of movement there.
You're very focused on Miss Sophia.
I don't know how you couldn't be.
I know. I was going to say she's absolutely stunning.
Yeah. I will say, though, one of my favorite male actors is Mastro Ianni.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
We've seen a lot.
Yeah.
I think, I don't want to say most, but we've seen a lot of movies that he is in.
Yeah.
And he's super good.
Yeah.
He
has a relaxedness about him that
he's pretty versatile.
Right.
He can play like a playboy. Nervous.
Yeah, playboy. Oh, you know,
he can be confident in one scene. He can be like you said, nervous or timid in another. I could not be an actress.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I will say, so far, my favorite movie with both of them in it is the one.
A Special Day.
Yeah, A Special Day.
That was a very, very good one.
Yeah, that was a great movie. Man, oh man. Yeah, A Special Day from 1977. Yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, check it out.
Yeah, that's more of like a fleshed out story.
Yeah.
So if that's more your vibe.
It's a drama.
Watch that.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, yeah.
But, can I talk about what I...
Yes, what would you
have?
And what did you actually have?
I feel like you're forgetting about me.
I'm not. What did you actually have during the movie? Did you eat anything during the movie?
I don't know. I might have had ice cream.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think you did.
I think I had vanilla ice cream and chocolate syrup. I know.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. But it's good. I think that's what I had, but I can't even be too sure. But what I would have, if I could go snap my fingers and be in Italy, pick up some food and then bring it back home, I would have a Neapolitan style pizza, and it would be margherita pizza. I think I've talked about it before at some point in time, 'cause it's one of my favorite foods ever. And it's like, Kaylee, you're super basic. You eat vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup and you eat pizza that just says cheese and basil on it. But Neapolitan pizza, when done right, because I've had others that are weird, that put like sliced tomato on it. And it's like, no. Neapolitan margherita pizza is just phenomenal. Has to be, you know, made in a wood-fired oven. It's got to have that melty mozzarella, those big leaves, basil leaves, and not too thick of a tomato sauce, but not watery or anything like that. I could go on and on. And when I watch this movie, basically when I watch any Italian movie, I'm like, you know, some pizza would be really good. Not American pizza. It's got to be
Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Yeah. The autentico stuff.
Yes.
You know.
I would have that. And then, you know, maybe on the side or like an appetizer, you know, having, like you were saying, having some focaccia or ciabatta and then dipping it in like an olive oil and herb blend.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Seriously, so good. I mean, I would even take like baguette or French bread, but
totally.
Focaccia is super, super good with little dips. And for a drink, I really want to try an Aperol Spritz. I haven't yet. But what I did recently try that's Italian, I guess, is a Bellini.
Right.
We got that Harry's Bar Bellini mix from World Market, and it's so good.
Yeah.
It's like such a light drink. It's not heavy. It doesn't make you feel like, you know, super heavy or anything like that. So I think that would be a good pairing
with
carb heavy pizza and bread. And then just to throw in an extra thing for dessert, I would either want tiramisu or zippole.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like those little fried,
right, the fried dough. Donut,
yeah, it's like a donut, and then you can dip it in like chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean,
why not?
So clearly, I love carbs. Like, if you guys did not know this, I love carbs. I will never give them up, ever, ever. I eat pasta at least once a week.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anyone says or anyone thinks.
That's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. You can't stop me.
Oh, man.
I'm an American. You can't stop me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what I would eat. I mean, I love pasta, obviously, but I think for a movie, I feel like more handheld food.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Other than the dessert, but
Yeah. And just fun facts here. Back in 1962, Antonio Mastroianni said in an observation, "I have nothing against Hollywood, but today's best films are being made in Italy. So why should I leave Rome?"
Mm.
Yeah.
Antonio?
Isn't that his name?
No.
What?
Marcello.
Oh, it's Marcello. I think I'm thinking of one of his characters. My bad. Yeah, Marcello Mastroianni.
I was like, who's Antonio?
Yeah, sorry. Marcello Mastroianni. Yeah. His nickname was the Latin Lover.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah. And his trademark was he often played outwardly light characters who are actually troubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I looked him up the other day on Wikipedia. He was actually with, I think, at least a couple Hollywood starlets.
Yeah.
Like, he was with Faye Dunaway in the late 70s. And basically, they split up because she wanted a family and kids. And he was separated from his wife, but not divorced. And because, you know, Catholicism.
Right.
They did, or at least used to not like divorce. He wouldn't divorce his wife, even though they weren't
together. You
know, they weren't together. And so that's why they split up. And basically he said that she was the love of his life.
Wow.
And that's who he regretted not staying with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it says here that his wife, when he passed, was Flora Carabella.
Yeah, he had like four wives.
Yeah,
I was like three or four wives.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the 1950s, she married Marcello Mastroianni, from whom she never filed for divorce. In spite of Mastroianni's well-known romantic relationships. They had a daughter, Barbara, and in 1976, Carabella reportedly offered to adopt her estranged husband's daughter, Catherine
she's French.
Yeah, Denevu. Chiara Mastroianni, whose parents' careers were demanding. Carabella's intermittent career includes films by Roberto Rossellini, Lina Wertmüller, and Sergio Chiti. She died in 1999, age 73, of a bone tumor.
Okay, so maybe I read it wrong. He wasn't married multiple times. but he had multiple partners. Maybe I was thinking he had, because I know he had multiple children with multiple women, so that was probably it.
Right. Well, and it says here they had been separated for at least 32 years at the time of his death. It's like,
yeah,
geez.
Can't let it go.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Roman Catholicism. Can't let it go.
And he passed away in 1996.
Yeah.
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 So, but yeah. So, fun little movie.
But Sophia Loren is still around.
Oh, yeah. Loren's still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still stunning, still wonderful.
Oh, man.
We watched that one movie Netflix. She was in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a year or two ago, and that was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read her autobiography, which is also called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. The Life Ahead. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No, anything Sophia Loren is in, I love it. Yeah. I can't get enough of it.
And now this, you know, little striptease moment, just your head over
here. Blu-ray's coming.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. No, my favorite movie of hers was the one, it was her and the daughter during World War II. I'm looking through her IMDb now.
That was a very...
Yeah.
It was good, but it was
sad.
Depressing.
Oof. Yeah. But she was very good in it.
Earlier on.
Right. Earlier in her career.
Late 50s or early 60s.
That Kind of Woman.
I don't think that was it. Two Women. See
Two
that?
Women. See yeah. 1960. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1960.
Two Women. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was very, very good in that movie, along with the daughter that played.
Yeah.
Her name was Eleonora Brown as Rosetta.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really good movie. Yeah. And
just check out any movies that have either, you know, Sophia or Marcello in them.
Yeah.
I think you'll like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're both incredible actors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from their time period.
Definitely.
And I think, too, they've kind of stood the test of time as, like, these prominent figures.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
And the two women, by the way, IMDb rating, 7.8.
So even higher.
Even higher.
So.
Yeah. So.
What was it for A Special Day? What was the rating?
Let me see.
You're kind of going all over.
I know. I'm just click, 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 click. I'm going everywhere with the clicks. Let me see here. Special Day. If it isn't above an 8.
8.1.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say 8.1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it like an 8.5 or a 9.
Yeah. I would give it at least a 9.
Yeah.
At least.
It was so good.
The cinematography was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
The story is... I mean, it's,
and like
you're just
the subject
captivated.
Matters too.
Right, right. I mean, it's like an important movie. Sophia Loren, you can tell, like, we're watching like a little clip that they have for it. Like, she is not trying to play up her beauty. Marcello is not trying to play up like his suave, you know, nature.
It's very like age appropriate, I guess. You know, the characters they're playing.
Totally.
Because sometimes people are like, oh, that person's too young to play an old person, or that person's too old to play a young person.
Yeah.
And it's like, this just works.
Yeah.
It works.
It's a, like I said, like as they're sliding through these clips here, I'm just remembering like all
at the
of
strings.
The, yeah. I mean, it just, man, oh man, that movie. It, like,
I can read the thing. Two neighbors, a persecuted journalist and a resigned housewife, meet during Hitler's visit to Italy in May 1938.
Yeah, that's a very simple description.
Well, there's no spoilers.
Yeah, I know, yeah, there's no spoilers.
But there's so much more to it. yeah. you know, this relationship yeah. between the two of them. And it literally is just like, not the movie, but the plot is like only over the duration of a couple hours.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's just so much
packed
that
into
goes
it.
On. It's crazy yeah. how they did it.
Well, and the thing that there's certain movies you watch that not only does it stick with you for a while, but on top of that, it's just a movie you don't forget.
Yeah.
Like, it just is one of those movies that, like, yeah, in your head when somebody says, oh, what's, like, a really great movie that hardly anybody knows about, and being the generation, right, I was born in 1990, you were born in 95, basically being of that generation where this was before our time,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember anybody, me growing up, I don't remember anybody talking about this movie, like, at
no,
all.
No, and you know what, that's usually the case with foreign films right. anyway.
Right.
So
it's kind of like, huh, like that's kind of crazy. And so, you know, you watch it and you're just like, this is brilliant. Yep. You know, you can't believe that. Yeah. And the original title, Una Giornata Particolare. Yes.
Yeah.
That is right. But anyway, that is Movie Munchies, everybody.
Yeah. Basically, if you're watching this, just eat any food that's at
Italian.
Least somewhat Italian.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you'll be good to go.
Heck yeah.
You'll fit right in.
Yeah. Maybe you want an Italian, like, hero, you know? Or you want, like, an Italian sub.
I thought...
yeah.
I thought you were talking about, like a superhero.
Oh, no.
I was
no,
like,
no, no.
You want an Italian hero?
No, no. But yeah, you want an Italian sub or a chicken parm. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be, like, yeah. authentico.
No.
Just
no.
anything sort of Italian.
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
work.
It will work. So that is all for Movie Munchies. Thank you, Kaylee.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was my idea.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo, 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 yeah. woo! Yeah, so we will see everybody next time.
Bye.
Bye! This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.